gypsies ride through Wonderland. Took my horse down to the sand, underneath a thousand miles of sky. And I watched the waves come tumbling down, hearing all those different sounds. Clears my head and eases my worried mind. Capricorn dancer, I'm a ride in the shelter. Show me a sign, lead me on to the tropical zone. Diamonds scattered out to sea. Sun keeps laughing down on me. This crazy horse is trying to chase the wind. And I watch the waves come tumbling down, hearing all those different sounds. Clears my head and eases my worried mind. Capricorn dancer, I'm riding the shelter. Show me a sign, lead me on to the tropical zone. Capricorn dancer, I'm riding the shelter. Show me a sign, lead me on to the tropical zone. Capricorn dancer, I'm riding the shelter. Show me a sign, lead me on to that tropical zone.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the dulcet tones of Scott Wattman.
The barely awake tones.
This is Goth, and this is the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. And yes, Scott Wattman, I've rustled, he's a muso, so he usually doesn't arise before one in the afternoon. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Scott.
It's my pleasure.
Now, do you want to just tell us the track you just played was Richard Clapton, Capricorn Dancer? Do you want to just, why choose that particular track?
Mainly because it's about the only thing I can sing at this time of day. No, it's I believe that Richard Clapton's one of a great Australian songwriters. He's just a beautiful songwriter, and for some reason he doesn't just necessarily get some of the acknowledgement that he deserves.
That's a fair call. Yeah, because I mean, folks overseas probably that are listening probably don't. I've probably never heard that track before, so yeah, no, it's a cool choice. I like that. I like the choice. So, what about other musical heroes growing up? Like Richard Clapton, you really dig his stuff. Who else? When you were young, who else did you really like?
Oh, I had this weird thing where I really like a lot of songs from 1978. I don't know why that is. But I had this thing with like the Candy O album by The Cars came out in 78. Regatta de Blanc by The Police came out in 1978. And I'm struggling to think of a lot of other stuff. There's a lot of 70s, a lot of late 70s stuff that I really love. The Boston album, when that first came out with More Than a Feeling, that was a big thing that I remember as a young. And the Toto album with Hold the Line. But I guess most of my biggest influences, I think, were Australian bands. I learnt to play guitar by listening to and copying guitar licks from The Angels and Midnight Oil and AC/DC, the early AC/DC stuff with Bon Scott.
Now, because you and I have had vigorous, because I've known Scott for a very long time, people, he does all the audio tracks on beernutsproductions.com are recorded in Scott's studio, which we'll talk about in a second. So I've known Scott for a long while now because he records down all of my hilarious audio tracks. And he and I have had a vigorous debate from time to time because he much prefers playing the electric guitar over the acoustic guitar. So could you maybe explain to folks why the choice of electric over acoustic?
It's easier on the fingers. No. mainly, I guess it's that, I still have that thing from my youth where I love that sound of anger.
Okay, cool.
I know there's an energy there. I love listening to acoustic guitar. It's just not... And I don't mind playing it, but I like that there's a bluesy quality from playing an electric where you can bend strings and get microtonal things that I find are very expressive. And I don't find that as easy to do on an acoustic.
So would you say the electric guitar is more flexible? Like it's more of a flexible guitar to play? As in like you can do more with it?
I think I can do more with it. I know that there are people who can do much more with an acoustic guitar, and it's probably one of those things if I spent more time doing it. But I've spent most of my life playing in loud bands, and acoustic guitars and loud bands aren't necessarily the best of mixes.
fair enough. No, that's a fair comment. Yes. So like I said, you've got the recording room studios, which I use all the time to put down my stuff. Why decide to open up your own recording studio?
I got into recording really young, and I did a lot of recording. The first band that I played in was with a bunch of older guys, and they were heavily into doing original music, which was a great thing for me because it prompted me to get into writing stuff, and we spent a lot of time in recording studios. And I had an interest in the technical side of things, so I'd always sit in with the engineer and try and learn as much as I possibly could. And this is back in the days of big analog desks and tape machines. So I would always sit with whoever we were working within the studio and learn as much as I possibly could. And eventually got into buying a little four-track cassette machine to record my own stuff and do demos for the band. And that springboarded itself into... bigger tape machines into a big 16-track machine at the time, which was on a half-inch tape, which was, by today's standards, is pretty small. But back then when I first got into that, it was a big thing for me. And I was lucky enough to work with a drummer who owned a PA company, and he'd get me to go and mix bands, and I'd do fallback for some big touring acts, and then I'd get to do front of house, and I learned a lot about doing sound live. And so the combination between that and then doing stuff in the studio was quite a large springboard for me to venture into doing my own, having my own studio and building a studio and learning as much as I could and going down that path.
Because am I right in saying you actually built this yourself? Like what we're sitting in now, you actually, as your two hands, actually put all this together. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I was here in the building. I can't say I was the mastermind behind the building of it. I actually had a guy who was a acoustic engineer. He built studios, and that's what he did for a living. And he came in and did the design, and he did all of the technical work. And I just was the labourer helping him out. And it got pretty much close to the stage where it is now, and he had to leave and go back to Germany. He left me with the plans and said, okay, you've helped me do all of this, this, and this, and this, and this, so you've seen how it's done. Now you have to go and do that corner over there, that here, and this on the floor. So he left me with he basically left me with most of it done, and I had to do the finishing touches. And as you can see, some of the finishing touches aren't quite. I've done all of the acoustic treatment. I have not yet completed all of the finishing, the nice pretty touches.
So would you say it's a rustic look?
Yeah. Yeah, you can still see the staples sitting on the. Yeah, I haven't done the what's the word I'm looking for? I can't even remember it now. I'm
the fancy final touches.
That's one. Yeah, yes.
But I mean, I'm blind, so I don't care. I can't see it. So as long as we sound good, I don't give a shit. So, yeah. And I'm sure that'd be the attitude of most of the artists that come in here and record. Surely, as long as it sounds good, who cares what it looks like?
It's amazing how people are affected by the way things look. And it's one of those things in our industry these days. Looks are important for some reason.
Okay, fair. Yeah, we'll see.
Isn't it weird? We use our ears to listen, but that is one of the funny things I find about the music industry is that people do tend to listen with their eyes sometimes.
Well, I think it's probably come about, I don't know, actually what you could comment on this. I suppose back in the late 90s when all of the man-made bands, you know, your Spice Girls and your Backstreet Boys and all of them were starting up, I suppose a prerequisite was they all had to be good looking. There was none of them were, you know, 200 kilos and all that. So, you know what I mean? So yeah, would you say that's probably where it came from?
It's always been there. It's always one of those things too. And it's that, and those guys were born out of, that's a pop culture thing. And one of the things that I think there used to be a lot more diversity in the music industry, particularly what got played on radio. There was a difference between pop and dance and rock and all of those things, and jazz, and all those things had a lot more of a higher profile. And since the internet has come along, it seems to have, instead of making things more open and opening up diversity, it actually seems to have closed things in. And pop, and besides pop, nothing else seems to really exist. I mean, you could probably include hip hop and R&B in the pop subculture now, but I mean, those two things.
I see angry letters in your future.
It's to some degree always been that way. The pop culture is what dominates the day, and generally pop culture is dominated by younger people. And yeah, and looks do come into it, but it's not the dominating factor either. So,
fair enough. Yeah. Like Milli Vanilli, they looked good, but they didn't sing a note, did they?
Well, yeah, that was something born out of the way things look. I mean, but then you have artists these days like Adele, who famously didn't give a toss about. I mean, not that she was ugly by any stretch; she was a gorgeous woman, had a huge success.
When you've got such a powerful voice, though, I mean, you can't argue with that, can you?
Well, that's true. But there are a lot of amazing, powerful voices out there. She just happened to also write great songs.
Okay, yes.
I mean, it was a combination of things. So you can't define any one possible artist by, you know, just their voice or just their songs or just their looks or... There's a whole range of factors involved.
How many studios do you have in this little complex here that you've got going?
It's mainly just the one studio, although I have two. It's spread across two factory spaces. So in this particular space, we have the main control room, which is quite large. And I made it large on purpose so that I could actually have a large group of people out there, because that generally, if you're recording bands, most of the time the band spends its time in the control room. And you generally have individual people recording one at a time. Although this does have enough space. I've got a vocal booth for a vocal, or you can have a separated guitar or a harmonica player or whatever. And this room can actually record vocals, but it can also, it's all got right behind where you're sitting, has a nice drum kit set up that's
It's a massive drum kit, yes.
So we can actually have a whole, I've made it in such a way that we can actually have a four or five piece band record all together at the same time in separated rooms. But I also have a very, very large room that's the second part of the second factory. And that's just a very, very one open, big, open, large space to have bands if they want to have that experience of all playing together, like traditionally used to happen, which doesn't happen so much anymore.
Yes, yes. Well, I know I'm a massive fan of Oasis, and I know that their very first album definitely maybe was done like that. They got them into a large space like you've got just down the way there, and they pretty much just pumped out the album. They just played the tracks as if it was a concert almost.
Yeah, and so it's definitely a great way to go. It's a great vibe. And there's something about a band playing together, and that you don't get from sticking them all in individual separate rooms, and you know, drummers playing to a click track, and there's a organic naturalness about all playing in the one room, and it's nice to capture that energy. And a lot of the time, one of the great things about recording is, particularly with bands, is it's more important to capture the vibe and the energy than necessarily capture the best quality of sounds, because even though you're still aiming to get the best quality sounds, it's more important to get an absolutely magical vibe performance. People would much prefer to listen to a great performance that's maybe not necessarily the best quality recording, rather than an amazing quality recording that's just a shit performance. So it's a much better thing to actually have a great vibe and a great performance, and that's what that space is all about over there.
So let's say your words of advice to parents. They've got a kid, right, and the kid's, I don't know, let's say 11 or 12, they want to learn to play guitar, right? What would be your advice to the parent?
Ooh, that's a tough one. If they've really got a passion for it, try and get them a decent quality instrument. And it is possible to get a decent quality instrument quite cheaply these days. The availability of stuff coming out of China and places like Korea and Indonesia even, the instruments are amazingly good quality and are relatively cheap. If you can find a good teacher is always a great thing. That's something that I never had when I was younger. I wish I had. I probably would have helped my progress a lot better. But it's also one of those things with a teacher is just finding someone that connects with the student. You know, if you find someone that connects really well, that helps encourage that passion.
And when you're recording someone, going back to what you do now in the recording room studios here, let's say Alice Jones comes in and she thinks she is the next Adele, and you listen to her sing and you're like, oh my God, I've never heard, it sounds like someone's kicked a dog. It's just atrocious. But you've got to stay professional. You've got to record her. She's paying you money to record down her tracks. How do you do it? Like, I mean, you know me well, and people who have watched any Beer Nuts Productions films know that I'm a reasonably blunt and straight to the point sort of character. I would struggle in a situation like that. How do you go about, you know, not hurting someone's feelings, I guess, to say to them, listen, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your money, what are you doing? Like, what do you say to those folks?
I think what you do is, well, what I do, you've got to encourage people as best you possibly can. And you never know, like people once they do hear themselves, like recording yourself is a massive learning curve. And some people take a little while to actually get used to the whole concept of recording and getting the best out of them in a recording situation. That's the most difficult thing, is trying to get the absolute best out of someone. And there's a lot of different techniques for doing that. And there are times when you have people who, in my mind, maybe aren't doing a great job, but you never can tell. People hear things. Other people may hear things that go, well, you might not like it.
Yeah.
I might not like it. But there may be someone out there that absolutely loves it.
Well, that's a good point. I suppose we've all got a friend who said, you got to listen to this. It's the greatest song ever. And you listen to it, you go, that is shit cakes. But, you know, they love it. I suppose it's an objective thing, isn't it?
It is an objective thing. And that's that thing. You've got to try and be objective about it. And it's also that thing where, like, when people do record and they get a chance to hear themselves, it's that thing, is that realistically the way they hear themselves in their head? Because I remember... for a good many years, when I first started recording, I hated the sound of my own voice. And it took a long while to get used to hearing myself, because the sound that you hear in your head is very different to the sound you hear when you record. I mean, I don't know how, because you've done a lot of recording and stuff now, so you're probably used to the way you hear your voice. But I know when I'm listening to myself in my own head, my voice doesn't sound the same as when I'm listening to myself recorded.
Yeah, no, that's 100% correct, yeah.
So that's a weird, and that is a very weird thing to get used to.
Yeah, cool. Now, you're going to close out now with one of your original tracks. So can you firstly, obviously, thank you for listening to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast, everybody. Leave a comment in the comment section and, of course, like and subscribe and follow and share and tell everybody all about us. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com for all your entertainment needs. You'll be able to listen to all the audio tracks, like I say, on the Beer Nuts Productions website. We're recorded right here in the recording room studios. Actually, before I forget, do you want to just recording room studios, where can people find you, Scott?
You can find me on the internet and on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. But the website is www.recordingroom.com.au.
And on Instagram, you post quite a lot. What's your Instagram handle for Recording Room?
I think it's recordingroom.qld.
Okay, cool. So, make sure you check Scott out as well, of course. Now, you're going to close out now with one of your originals. Can you tell us, firstly, what it is, what it's about, and then crack on in?
Okay, I'm going to do an original song that I wrote when I was about 16.
So, when the dinosaurs were still going. I'm just being
fishy. Yeah. Well, no, it's one of those things now. It's as I was saying to you earlier on, I wish I'd printed lyrics out because I'm not sure if I can remember how it goes. But I do remember the feeling. This is one of those things when I was young and first starting out and learning how to write songs. And it's a song about young love. Oh, okay. Shall we say?
Very romantic.
Or I think I had a romantic interest with a certain young lady who probably wasn't interested in me as much as I was in her.
We've all been there, Scott. We've all been there. So take it, ladies and gentlemen, Scott Wattman.
Time with you, but you seem to be changing. I don't know what to do. I don't want to lose the love we have found, but lately it seems you don't want me around. Stop wasting my time. Change of mind. Don't take this lightly. Don't leave love behind. It's not all over until the truth has been told. You know where I stand. I want you body and soul. Stop wasting my time. Let me know.